Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter, Brian Lynn, Anne Ball, and John Russell. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Anna Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
Google says it is going to stop searching the email of its users to sell online advertising. The technology company said on Friday that consumer Gmail content will not be used or scanned for any ads personalization after this change. The company announced the change on its website. It said it would stop scanning email at a time later this year. For years, privacy rights activists and many users have raised concerns about the email scanning. Competitors Microsoft and Apple also have criticized Google for mining users' email in order to sell advertising. Google has been scanning email in its Gmail service in order to match subjects that people were writing about with advertisements. For example, someone writing about food might start seeing ads for cooking equipment. Advertisements are still going to appear in Gmail, says Google. However, instead of scanning email content, the company says it will use other signals to find out what ads will appeal to its users. It notes that ads shown on users' email accounts can be controlled with the user's settings. Google says it is possible to disable the ad personalization at any time using the settings. Google introduced Gmail in 2004 at no cost to the user. The company says about 1.2 billion people use the electronic message service. The company noted that the decision brings Gmail ads in line with how we personalize ads for other Google products. More than 3 million companies pay to use Google G Suite for business, according to Google. The service does not have ads and does not scan emails. However, Google said that some of its business users believed that the company was scanning email in its business email service. By ending scanning for all its email services, Google may be hoping more businesses will use the G Suite service. I'm Mario Ritter.
The U.S. Supreme Court is allowing parts of President Donald Trump's ban on travelers from six mostly Muslim countries to be enforced. The court said Monday it will consider the case in October after its summer break. The Trump administration had requested that the ban be put in place while the case is considered in the courts. The restrictions halted travel from Libya, Iran, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen for 90 days. It also barred all refugees from entering the United States. The latest travel ban came about through an executive order signed by Trump, but it was blocked by lower courts. In its 6-3 ruling, the Supreme Court made an exception for one group of foreigners. It said the travel ban cannot be enforced against any foreign nationals who have a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the U.S. The court also said it would allow a 120-day ban on all refugees entering the United States to go into effect, with the same exception. Three of the court's conservative justices said they would have allowed the full travel bans. Justice Clarence Thomas said the government's interest in ensuring national security should outweigh any hardship to people denied entry into the U.S. The court's decision was seen as a victory for Trump, who had repeatedly criticized federal courts for blocking his order. He has said the temporary travel ban was necessary to keep dangerous people out of the country while stronger vetting policies were created. Trump praised Monday's Supreme Court decision, calling it a clear victory for our national security. In a statement, he said his number one responsibility is to keep Americans safe. Some immigration lawyers said the limited nature of the ban raises questions about how much impact it will have. They noted that most people coming to study, work, or visit family members in the U.S. already have sufficient relationships with others already in the country. Even though the Supreme Court is expected to hear the travel order case in October, it noted that the case could be moot at that time. This is because measures in the order are meant to be temporary while the government reviews its security procedures. Trump said last week the travel ban would take effect 72 hours after being cleared by courts. A statement by the Department of Homeland Security said the order will be implemented professionally with clear and sufficient public notice, particularly to potentially affected travelers. I'm Brian Lynn.
For the last 80 years, the coast of the U.S. state of Louisiana has been losing land to water in the Gulf of Mexico. The land has been disappearing through a natural process called subsidence. But scientists now say Louisiana is sinking faster than they thought. A new study shows that the Louisiana coast is sinking at an average rate of 9 millimeters, almost 1 centimeter per year. Torbjorn Tornquist is a geologist at Tulane University in New Orleans. He is one of the writers of the study published June 14th in the Geological Society of America's GSA Today. He says the new rate is higher than other recent studies have shown. And he adds, the finding is not good news.
That rate is about the same as what in previous studies has been cited as the worst case scenario. So the more pessimistic numbers that people have used in the past. Well, it turns out that those are the rates that are actually happening.
And the news gets worse. Tornquist says that, in addition to the land dropping into the water, climate change is causing sea levels to rise at a rate of about 3 millimeters a year in the area. He says the sea level rise is almost certain to increase in the future, and at a faster rate by the end of the century. The combination of the land sinking and the sea rising means the Louisiana coast has one of the highest rates of sea level rise to the land anywhere in the world.
You can look at maps or satellite images of parts of the coast and see what it looked like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and compare that to what it looks like today. And the differences are staggering in many cases. There are areas that were still solid marshland 50 years ago, and now it's entirely open water.
For their study, the researchers used a new method. They combined GPS, or satellite system measurements, rods, and instruments to measure both deep underwater and surface rates. They measured 274 sites along the Louisiana coast. While they found the average loss rate was 9 millimeters a year, some areas lost more than 2 centimeters and others almost none. Researchers created a map showing where, and by how much, land is sinking along the coast. Louisiana sits where one of America's largest rivers, the Mississippi, empties into the Gulf of Mexico. The river has been naturally dropping mud and sediment along the coast for probably thousands of years. However, the coastline lacks strong bedrock, so the land washes away easily. Jimmy Frederick works for the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana. He explains that human activities have changed the natural process of the river adding and removing sediment. For example, the levees built to protect New Orleans and other cities changed the flow of sediment. Now, the sediment moves farther into the Gulf waters instead of along Louisiana's coast. The state of Louisiana is also rich in oil and gas. Half the nation's oil refining ability is in the state. Its busy ports carry goods up and down the river. Trucks then carry them across the country. Frederick says extracting the oil and gas has meant cutting into the marshland and harming some areas along the coast. At the same time, losing coastline affects the oil, gas, and other industries, and therefore the U.S. economy. When Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana in 2005, oil production was shut down for 3 days. As a result, the price of gasoline nationwide rose an average of 46 cents. Jimmy Frederick's organization, the CRCL, worked on a state plan to stop the land loss. The $50 billion plan aims to restore Louisiana's coast. It also aims to protect the state from its frequent tropical storms and hurricanes. Just last week, Tropical Storm Cindy damaged the levee on Grand Isle, Louisiana, and left a highway covered in water. The Louisiana state plan is to move sediment back into the wetlands. Frederick explains that, simply said, the engineers would cut holes in some levees.
So that at times, the river can then flow as it naturally would and replenish the wetlands, and that will help a couple of things. That will help keep up with sea level rise a little bit better, because Louisiana, as you know, is sinking very, very quickly because of our geology, but also because of sea level rise.
When the projects are completed, they will add or maintain almost 1,300 kilometers of coastal land and wetlands. The project is delayed until the U.S. government approves the plan. The CRCL says help cannot come soon enough because, on average, Louisiana loses 91 meters of land to the Gulf every hour. Since 1932, the state has lost over 3,050 kilometers. Geologist Torbjorn Tornquist says the most important way to fix the coastline is to do something about climate change. If we do not, he warns, then it's going to be an unfixable problem, and sea levels will rise at much higher rates than we see today. I'm Ann Ball.
A Taiwanese electronics company says that it may spend more than $10 billion to develop factories in the United States. Terry Goh, chairman of Foxconn, made the announcement to reporters Thursday. In January, the company said it would build a display panel factory estimated to cost as much as $7 billion. Goh did not provide details Thursday about where building might take place. Foxconn is the biggest contract manufacturer for smartphones. It makes products for Apple, Sony, BlackBerry, and other companies. Goh told shareholders that Foxconn will create U.S. manufacturing and software development operations in artificial intelligence and automation. He said that Foxconn has been in contact with the Trump administration. He added that he expects to finish negotiations by the end of July or early August. The first investment agreements could involve at least three U.S. states. Three others could be added later, Goh said. We will provide at least tens of thousands of job opportunities, Goh said Thursday. He said Foxconn hopes to work with American states such as Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Texas. In January, Goh said that Pennsylvania was the top candidate for the panel factory. It would be linked with the Sharp Electronics Company. Foxconn bought the Japanese company in March 2016 for $3.5 billion. Expansion into the United States would decrease Foxconn's dependence on China. The company has about 1 million employees and most of its operations in that country. I'm John Russell.
This is what's trending today. The world met Harry Potter, the boy wizard, 20 years ago. J.K. Rowling's first book about Harry and his friends at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry was released on June 26, 1997. The publisher, Bloomsbury, only released 500 copies to stores in Britain and sent 500 to British libraries. Now, thanks to 450 million more copies of the first book and six others, Harry Potter and his friends are known around the world. Adults and children loved the books, but 12 publishers rejected the first one, known in many countries as Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. That book and the six others that followed also became movies. The actor Daniel Radcliffe played Harry. Emma Watson played his friend Hermione. Rowling wrote the first book when she was unemployed and receiving assistance from the government. Her marriage had ended in failure and she had a young child. Things have changed. Some observers believe Rowling is now one of the richest women in the world. She gives a lot of her money to good causes. On Twitter, Rowling noted the anniversary of the first Harry Potter book. She wrote, 20 years ago today, a world that I had lived in alone was suddenly open to others. It's been wonderful. Thank you. The Huffington Post website called it a perfect tweet. The comments were retweeted and liked about 800,000 times on social media. Many other people also posted messages about Harry Potter. If they used the hashtag HarryPotter20, Twitter added an emoji of Potter's well-known glasses and lightning bolt scar. People wrote things like, Harry Potter is eternal, and happy anniversary to the book series that forever changed my life in more ways than one. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. We humans spend about one-third of our lives asleep. This may sound like a lot of time, but it is not wasted. Sleep helps us stay healthy, but it also helps our brains remember. Our brains need good sleep to remember what we do and learn during the other two-thirds of our lives when we are awake. Besides keeping us healthy, some new research shows that a good night's sleep helps make us more intelligent. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have found that sleep helps improve brain performance by shrinking synapses in the brain. A synapse is the area where cells pass messages to other cells. Scientist Chiara Cirelli is a lead investigator at the school's Center for Sleep and Consciousness. She told VOA that sleep is when the human brain mixes information it has learned while awake into its general collection of knowledge. However, the brain forgets unimportant details. This forgetting is important. It makes space for new learning and new memories. Chiarelli said that the center's research began with this hypothesis. We sleep so that our brain can repair and refresh itself. She said the idea seems simple and reasonable. However, testing and discovering how it works has been extremely difficult. Chiarelli and Center Director Giulio Tononi have been trying to prove the connection between sleep and the brain's synapses since 2003. Chiarelli said the researchers knew that stronger synapses are also bigger. So they began their study by measuring the size of the synapses in the brain. They also knew that during sleep, the brain checks on all its synapses and resets itself for the next day. The team wanted to see if the synapses of the brain are bigger after being awake all day and smaller after a good night's sleep. Synapses are only about 20 to 40 nanometers wide. So the team looked for changes in these already tiny spaces between nerve cells. Chiarelli says the process is difficult because all the actual measurements of the synapses have to be done manually. The team had to wait until improvements in laboratory technology made it possible to see these tiny changes. A University of Wisconsin press release called the research a huge job. Many research specialists worked for 4 years to photograph, rebuild, and study certain areas of a mouse brain. The report also said the scientists measured 6,920 synapses. Chiarelli says they found that synapse size and strength are upset by being awake and restored by sleeping. The study found that sleep keeps our brains malleable and able to keep learning new things. She says our synapses shrink as our brains clean themselves during sleep. We wake up refreshed and ready to fill those synapses with new information. Earlier findings suggest that without sleep, our synapses never shrink. The researchers say the concern is that if synapses continue to strengthen, neurons, which use synapses to communicate, will start responding too often and too much. This may result in too much noise in the brain. The real and important signals might get lost. The research findings are the result of more than 10 years of work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The researchers published their findings in the journal Science. The Mayo Clinic is a respected research hospital in Rochester, Minnesota. It gives these 6 suggestions for getting a good night's sleep. 1. Stay on schedule. 2. Pay attention to what you eat and drink. Don't go to bed hungry or stuffed. And avoid caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol before bed. 3. Create a calm, restful sleep environment. Make your room as cool, quiet, and dark as possible. 4. Limit daytime naps. 5. Exercise during the day. 6. Manage your worries. Try to calm any worries or concerns you might have before going to bed. You could write them down so that they are out of your head and on paper. You could spend a couple minutes getting organized for the next day. Or you could try some meditation and deep breathing to calm your brain. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.